Welcome to the Authentic Persuasion Show, a place where business and thought leaders come to weigh in on important sales-related topics that you can use in your sales career and life. I'm your host, Jason Cutter. My mission is to get your help in changing sales from something prospects fear to an act of service they actually seek out and appreciate. Whether you're in sales, leading sales teams, or own a business, I hope this helps you improve your selling effectiveness and you can go out into the world as an authentic persuader. Welcome to season 4 of the Authentic Persuasion Show, formerly known as the Sales Experience Podcast. This is the second episode in season 4. This is episode 312. So obviously yesterday's episode with the amazing, wonderful, warm-hearted, super giving Bob Berg was the first episode. This is my first chance and opportunity to really speak to you about this season and then also what we're going to do together. And what I want to do was take a few minutes to explain what's going to happen in season 4 with the format. I've decided to stick with 5 days a week. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday are going to be full length guest episodes. In past seasons, what I've done is taken a guest conversation, chopped it up into a mini series. What I want to do is shift to a format where you can download the whole episode, listen to it from start to finish, not have to skip the ends and the beginnings of episodes or wait for each day. You know, I wanted to just serve that up the best I could. But I also wanted to do was keep my schedule of doing as many episodes as possible. Now, I know if people are like me and people are busy, you're now at home, you're not commuting, you're not traveling, you're not flying anywhere, maybe not driving anywhere for a lot of people. And if that's the case, then obviously you don't have as much time to consume podcasts. I know I don't. I try to do my best every day to go for some walks, but I'm not driving or flying as much as I was before, obviously. And that means there's just not as much consumption time. So what I wanted to do was still put out lots of content, even more content than I've been doing, because what I want to do is give you as many opportunities to listen to content that speaks to what you're looking for. It could be something about marketing. It could be mindset. It could be coaching. It could be anything like that. And so the various guests that I'm going to have on, I wanted to just give as many of those things, as much as that buffet that I can of knowledge and wisdom and experience and conversations out there. Obviously, pick and choose. I would love you to listen to every single episode, download all of them, subscribe. But obviously, that's a lot of content. So just pick and choose which ones make sense. Share the ones that you think would be good for other people. And then what I'm going to do is on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so today's episode during the week, is I want to do shorter episodes, solo episodes with just me, and then sharing some authentic persuasion strategies or tips, things that I know, something you can take as actionable. So just shorter bits where you just listen to this, like the episodes I've done in the past solo ones, what I did in season 1, where it's like, listen to this. My goal is for you to take this information, go out there and use it pretty much right away. Like your next conversation you have, something you can use, something that could help you. And so that's my plan and what I want to focus on. So again, 3 days a week of the guest episodes, 2 days a week of listening to me. So we'll see which ones you like more, but that's my goal. And the goal of the show is still the same. I want to provide as much value as I can and help you and your career and or your company, if you run a sales team, help everybody out there listening shift the narrative and change the way sales is done for you and for the customer. That's why the show was the Sales Experience Podcast. Shifted it to the Authentic Persuasion Show to go along with the book and what I'm focusing on coaching people. But the goal is still the same, that sales is a dirty word in most of the public's opinion. And a lot of organizations and salespeople feel that sales is a dirty word, which is why they don't have sales in their job title, or they're afraid to call themselves a salesperson because they know the public doesn't like it, because they don't like salespeople, because they think sales is when somebody's pushing or manipulating. And sales is a great profession when it's done by a professional with the right intention. Then you're moving somebody from here to there for their own benefit, to help them get to a better place. You're helping them make a decision they're struggling with making, because if they didn't need a salesperson, they would order it online. Right? But there's things that they still need help with. This people need assistance with. They need somebody to guide them. They need a professional to help them make the right decision. And that's where you come in. And the more we can all shift that, we can turn sales from this dirty word into a sales profession. Like other professions have the benefits of, sales unfortunately just doesn't. There's no certification process. There's no governing body. There's no way to regulate what people are saying or doing to make sure it's done the proper way. So that's what the show is about. That's what my goal is. My mission for you as a listener is to take this to your team, to your company, to your own sales career, sell in a way that feels good for you, where you're helping other people and you know you're doing the right thing, even even if you're having to push and persuade and really drive conversations forward, you know it's to get people unstuck so that they can get to a better place. So that's it for what's going on in the show. Now let's dive into today's episode. So what I want to talk about today is where asking questions actually means you care. So a lot of sales reps are afraid to ask lots of questions. They're worried about resistance. What's happened in most people's career, especially in the beginning, is you don't really know what you're doing and you want to ask lots of questions. Your boss told you to ask lots of questions, or somebody said it's all about discovery questions or probing questions. Then what happens is you come across that one prospect, you try to ask questions and they say, why are you asking me all these questions? I don't want to answer these questions. Like, you don't need to know this information. Just tell me what the price is, or just tell me how you can help me, or just tell me what you do. Right? And they cut you off, they cut you at the knees, and they don't want to hear any more of your questions. And you're left there like awkward and not sure what to do next. And so you just go into your sales pitch, or you give them the price, or you talk about terms, or you do whatever comes next, or whatever they're kind of demanding on the spot. Then what happens, just like most things in life, is you have this negative experience where you touch the stove, it hurt, it burned you. In your mind, you say, I never want to touch that stove again. And so then a lot of salespeople get in this habit where they go, I asked somebody questions, they didn't like it, they got mad, and then kind of yelled at me. So I'm just not going to dig deep again, because that's what happens when you do that. People will react a certain way. So then what happens is they just stop. And the key is that you want to do a few things, which I'll talk about, but it's best to think about it like this. The experience that most people had and why they don't like questions is what happened to most people when they were teenagers. So when most people were teenagers, they started liking a certain somebody or hanging out with a certain somebody, and you're sitting at the dinner table with parents or family or one parent, and they start asking questions. And they start asking, oh, what about this person? Who is this person? I saw you were talking to this person. Hey, why have you been hanging out with so-and-so a lot? And teenage you, defensive, shut down. You don't want to talk about it. It's embarrassing. You don't want to talk with them anyway. You don't know where it's going to go. If it doesn't work out, you don't want to be embarrassed that it failed. You're shy about it, whatever. And so you shut down. You don't want to answer questions. And it's terrible and awkward. And it feels like this third degree, which you're old like me, you remember Leave It to Beaver reruns. And it was all about getting the biz, right? It's all about getting the third degree from the parent. And so a lot of times that's what people feel like when they're asking questions, is they're doing that or they're getting that done to them. So the key is that you have to shift your focus. And you have to focus on the fact that you're asking questions because you care. And you care because you want to know them, their needs, wants, desires, goals, hopes, dreams, fears. You want to know all of it. And all of that comes from a place of care. And if you don't know those things, some or all of those things from your prospect, what happens is you become an order taker, and your sales strategy is really hope. You're hoping, if you don't dig deep enough, you're hoping, without even knowing anything about their situation, you're hoping you'll say the right thing. You're hoping you'll talk about the right feature about whatever you're selling, and that they will pick up on that. And that will be the trigger that it takes for them to want to buy. If you say enough things, if you say the right things, if you dance enough verbally, they will buy. And that's a strategy based on hope. And that just never works long-term in a successful sales career. Sure, you can close some deals that way. You can close some deals without asking a single question and then throwing enough stuff out there. But like they say, a broken clock is right twice a day. It's possible you could close a couple of deals that way, but never long-term professional sales mode. And so there are two keys with this to keep in mind. The first one is your intent. What is your intention? Your intention for asking questions is hopefully coming from a place of wanting to know how you can help them, if you can help them, because it might not even be a good fit. And then your intention is coming from a place of wanting them to get to a better place. So it doesn't matter what you're selling, whether it's furniture or copiers or software as a service, it doesn't matter. Like, your goal is to help them get to a better place. You want to ask questions so you know where they're at now, where they want to be, and can you be the one that fills in that gap? So that's the first part, is the intent. Now, the second key for being successful at asking questions and using that as your strategy is setting the expectation, letting them know why. I'll say pretty much everybody will be more compliant with a request when they know the why behind it. I know I'm that way. I don't know if you had the situation where you've been asked by somebody to do something. Maybe it was a boss, friend, significant other, and you were like, nope, I don't want to do that, because they just asked, can you do such and such? You're like, no, I don't want to do that. Or I'll do it, but I'm mad. I'm pissed because I don't want to have to do that. So imagine this scenario, right? So your boss says to you, hey, can you go clean out that office down the hall? And you're like, first you're thinking, no, but it's my boss, so I have to say yes. So maybe you do it, but you're pissed. You're just unhappy. You just don't want to do it. And maybe you just don't do it. Maybe you're like, no, or you procrastinate and delay, and then you get in trouble for not doing it. Now imagine if your boss said, hey, can you clean out the office down the hall? I want to move you from your current cubicle into that office. Now what are you going to do? Most likely you're going to be excited, be like, this is amazing, because now there's a why behind it. That why happens to involve me, and this is fantastic. I will happily go clean that office and start planning what I'm going to do when I move in, right? You would more easily comply in that scenario. And you can probably think of your own examples where someone told you the why behind what they needed you to do. I need you to go do this because of this, this, and this. And you're like, okay, that makes sense, right? I forget who it was, but they used the story of you're in line in the grocery store and somebody's like, hey, can I just cut in front of you? I have one item, right? You're like, no. Somebody says, can I cut in front of you? I have one item and I'm late for work. You know, I'm late for something and maybe they have flowers in the hand. You're like, okay, that makes sense. There's a why behind it. And so that changes it. What you want to do is you want to tell your prospects why you're going to ask them a bunch of questions. It's so important. As soon as you finish your rapport phase, where you've gone through your rapport building, use a transition and then say, hey, for the next part, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. And what I want to do is just learn more about your situation, what you're looking for, what you currently have, depending on what you're selling, currently have, what you currently use, what you like, what you don't like. I just really want to understand more about your situation so that I can give you the best direction on if I can help you, if what we have for sale makes sense for you. And if it is, what is the best option for you? What makes sense? Depending on what you sell, you might have lots of options. So let's say you did furniture sales, you know, it might be like, hey, we have tons of furniture here. So instead of just like pointing in direction or trying to sell you a particular couch, I want to ask you a bunch of questions so I can tell what might be the right fit so that I can just give you the best options to cut down on that, right? And when you do that, when you set that up and you tell people, most people will then drop their resistance, the resistance that you're worried about, and they will go, okay, that makes sense. He or she is going to ask me a bunch of questions because they want to help me. So I'll happily answer these questions because there's a benefit to me at the end, which is I'm going to get good advice, or I'm going to get pointed in the right direction, or it'll save us time. Or if they've had experience buying from other people, they know that by answering your questions, you're not going to show them every single option or talk about every single software upgrade they could do. Instead, you're going to be strategic, which is better for them. So when you ask questions and when you dive deep and when you set it up appropriately, you will show them that you care about them as a person and their situation. And you can really ask a lot of questions and dig really deep because you framed it and set it up in a certain way. And it will be successful, give you the information you need, and then you can be that sales professional moving forward. Just don't make it feel like the third degree, and you will succeed. Thanks for tuning into the Authentic Persuasion Show. If you found value in this episode, please do two things. Subscribe so you can get each new episode, and share this episode with anyone else you know in sales. Together, we can help shift the way sales is done. And if you want to find out more information about how to transform your sales career, or you want help with shifting your sales team from order takers to quota breakers, go to jasoncutter.com. Don't forget that everything in life is sales, and I will catch you on the next episode of the Authentic Persuasion Show.